Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. Starting at verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives, and to let out into light those bound in the dark, to proclaim the year of the favor of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, yes, provide for those in Zion who mourn, give them garments instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a cloak of praise instead of a heavy spirit, so that they will be called oaks of righteousness, planted by the Lord, in which he takes pride. So Jesus, obviously, as we know, Luke chapter 4, quoted this. His first sermon, he quoted this, and he said, that's why I'm here. This is what I came for. I come to heal the brokenhearted. I come to proclaim freedom to the captives. I come to let out those, to bring to light those who are in darkness. And we know that so much. He says, I come to announce good news to the poor. What is the good news to the poor? What is the good news that he announced? He announced that there's freedom. That there's freedom. It's much more, guys, it's much more than when we go to heaven one day. What has happened to us, you guys? I'll tell you what's happened to us. We got so sensational in our gospel that all we worry about is going to heaven one day. That's all we think about. That's what everybody preaches. Say this prayer, and one day you'll go to heaven. It's hogwash, you guys. It's hogwash. That isn't what he come for. Yes, we do have a gateway to heaven. Of course we do. But I love it in the scriptures how it says, if you continue in my word. It says that so many places. If you continue walking with me. So Jesus come to heal the brokenhearted. And we say that we've accepted Jesus. He's in our heart. We love him. He loves us. And he come to heal the brokenhearted. How many people do we sit beside every Sunday morning that are brokenhearted? Maybe we ourselves are brokenhearted. Maybe we're broken over our lives. Maybe we're broken over how things are going in our lives. We're brokenhearted. How many people are brokenhearted? But yet Jesus said he come to heal the brokenhearted. He said he come to proclaim freedom to the captives. How many people are bound up in their own lives, their own world, their own troubles? How many people are bound up in their own struggles? The roller coaster Christianity, the ones who were clear up here on Sunday afternoon and clear down here on Monday morning. Over and over and over and up and down we go. And we always wonder, where is the hope at? There has to be more than this. He come to let out into dark those who are in the dark. Let out the light those who are in the dark. We are in such darkness, you guys. We are in such darkness. We have such, and especially in North America, especially in this area, in Europe, in these prosperous countries, we have such a skewed gospel. It's so bad. We think that we're free. We think that there can't be no demons touching us because we've asked Jesus into our heart. We think that it's okay to have a little sin in our lives. It's okay because God is the great forgiver. Jesus brought atonement for our sins. So it's okay if we sin a little bit every day. We even say that we're sinners saved by grace. You understand what we're saying? We're speaking something to existence. That we're sinners. I was a sinner. Does that mean I never sinned? Of course not. Of course not. And there is an advocate, 1 John. There is an advocate when we do sin. But I'm not a sinner. I'm a regenerated Christian. I'm a regenerated disciple of the Lord. I'm not a sinner saved by grace. I was a sinner, and he redeemed me. Guys, we use these things to give us excuses to live our sinful lives and to let the demons that control us and let the demons of this world and the ruler of this world, John says, that the devil, the adversary, is a ruler of this world. And we use those scriptures to give excuse why we say that we love Jesus, and we do, but yet we continue to sin. We continue to have struggles. We continue to have depression. We continue to have anxiety. We continue to have addictions. We continue to have diseases. And there's one thing that will set you free. Two things that will set you free. Trust and repentance. Trust and repentance. That's all it takes, guys, to set you free. Jesus has already done everything. We need trust and we need repentance. We have to repent for those thoughts that we've had. So the question is, do we trust? Do we trust that Jesus will heal us? Do we trust that Jesus will set us free? And everyone says, yes, I do trust in Jesus. No, I say you don't. Because we have a backup plan. I'll trust in Jesus, but if you don't heal me by tomorrow, I'm going to the doctor. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
That's not trust. That's not trust. That's a backup plan, and if you have a backup plan, there is no trust. He is the only way. He is the only way. A good friend of ours went to Africa a couple years ago. He was in this village and they was doing some physical work or whatever, some mission type work. But he said that the local people there in this village, they said, if you get sick, you have two choices. You go to the witch doctor or you go to the church. There is no medical doctors in this area. So you have two choices. You go to the witch doctor or you go to the church. There is no option B or C. They have trust. Guys, they may have trust. If they go to the witch doctor, they have trust in the wrong spirit, but they have trust. We have money. Guys, we have money. That's where our trust lies. Our trust lies in this world. And we need to be honest with that. And we need to repent of that. If you really want to be healed, if you really want to be set free, you need to repent of that attitude. We didn't even know we had it before tonight, maybe. Maybe we didn't even know we had it, but we have it. Guys, if everyone, you search in your own heart, we all have backup plan. The worldly things, psychiatrists, doctors, medications, we all have a backup plan in our life. And that's not trust. And if we really want to be free, we have to trust. In Mark, Jesus come up, you guys all know the story, Jesus come up, And he heard a commotion. He come up and there's this father that comes to him and says, I brought my boy to be healed. Your disciples tried to heal him, but they couldn't do it. The first thing that Jesus says, how, you of little faith, how much longer must I be with you? You of little faith. Why couldn't the disciples heal the boy? Because they had no faith. They didn't have the faith. Guys, do we have that faith? Do we have that faith that there's no other option available for me? If I have anxieties, if I have depressions, if I have addictions, if I have negative thoughts, if I have whatever, pride, if I have self-hatred, if I have fill in the blank, what do I have? Well, Jesus, do I trust that Jesus will heal? You're all I need. We turn on a song. Jesus, you're all I need. But that's a lie. Guys, we need to repent for being liars. As Christians, we truly need to repent for being liars. We truly need to repent because we're liars. We say we trust, but we don't trust. We have a half a trust. So what we're going to do, I really believe, guys, that God wants to make a move. He wants to heal people in this area. Not even just in this area. But God wants to teach people the truth. But it's got to start with us. You guys, if we want healing for our body of Christ, well, it's got to start with us. If we want deliverance, it's got to start with us. How can we be a witness to somebody to say that Jesus is my everything? How can we be a witness when He's not my everything? When I trust in the government, I trust in whatever, I trust in the doctors, the psychiatrists, I trust in the program. He's not our everything. The Bible says that the enemy is the ruler of this world. And the enemy, the ruler of this world, has set up the program of this world. And he controls it very, very neatly. And then we as the church have fallen into that program. Guys, we need to learn about our enemy. One, we need to learn that there is an enemy. Can a Christian have a demon? Can a Christian be oppressed by a demon? That's a big question that everyone always wonders about. A Christian cannot be possessed by a demon. Cannot be possessed, because possession, by biblical terms, means complete taken over. We're made up of body, mind, spirit, and soul. As God created us, as body, mind, spirit, and soul. Your spirit man is the image of Christ that you was created in, according to Genesis. We live by that, with that spirit man wide awake while we're a child. We are living as in the image of God as we're a child. But when we've made the choice, when we've come to the age of accountability, as Christianity calls it, when we come to that place, if we have not made our own profession of Christ, of Jesus as our Savior, then our spirit man goes to sleep. Our spirit man has to go to sleep because it has to be born again. Our spirit man, the Bible says that that Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again to see the kingdom of God, to enter the kingdom of God, to see the kingdom of God. You must be born again to see the kingdom of God. You must be born again. Your spirit, man, must be, that word means it must be resurrected from above. That means that it's something that's dead, something that's asleep, something that's permanently asleep, or not permanently, but eternally asleep, until God from heaven wakes it up. That's what born again means. So, you can have demons in your body, in your mind, even in your soul, but you can't have them in your spirit, man. You can if you're not born again. But once you're born again, there cannot be an enemy, a devil, or a demon in that spirit. But that doesn't mean, just like when you're sick, guys, when you come to know Jesus, right? Let's say that you have a sickness, a disease. Let's say you have, what? Let's say you have high blood pressure. When you get saved, that doesn't just automatically go away. Right? We know that. It doesn't automatically just go away. In the same way with when you have a demon. It doesn't automatically just go away when we got saved. It has to be driven out. When a demon is in us, it has to be, there's only one way. It has to be driven out of us. We don't even know it. Guys, I'll tell you that most of us, our personalities, our lives, we've had a demonic oppression in our life, probably all of our life, probably born with some generational demonic oppressions. Then things that we've done, choice that we've made, sin that we've committed, we've had that door open, we've let more in. And it became part of our character. Guys, that demon became part of our character. So as we grew up into maturity, that demon was part of how we thought. Because it comes into our brain and it's how we think. So everything, like, so let's say we have a spirit of fear, for example. Our whole life we're based around, we've learned to live with that spirit of fear. We've learned to live with that within our realms. I know that if I'm scared of a storm, for example, a thunderstorm, that when a thunderstorm comes, I've grown up to know how to deal with that. I've grown up to know how to overcome that. Maybe to hide from the noise, right? To turn on music, whatever I have to do to, because I've learned how to live with that. I would have never in a million years thought that that would have been a demon in me, a spirit of fear in me. And it's so amazing when that spirit leaves, how people are saying, I never even realized. I never even realized I was like that. I just thought that's who I was. Guys, I believe that almost without exception, that every disease has a demonic root.
Root.
Midwest talk, root. I believe that every disease, or almost every disease, has some sort of demonic stronghold with it. I really do. I was thinking, there was one place I was going to show you in Acts chapter 8. And it's a cool story. And I've Acts chapter 8 talks about the Simon the sorcerer. And I was really looking into this because it's really interesting. Yeah, that's better. I heard something wrong in here. So, Acts chapter 8, we'll start at verse 12. But when they came to believe Philip, as he announced the good news concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus the Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Moreover, Simon himself came to believe, and after being baptized, he attached himself closely to Philip, and he was amazed as he saw miraculous signs and great works of power that kept taking place. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For until then, he had not come upon any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then as Peter and John placed their hands on them, they received the Holy Spirit. Simon saw that the Spirit was given with the apostles when the apostles placed their hands on them, and he offered them money. Give this power to me, he said, so that whoever I place my hands on will receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, your silver go to ruin, and you with it, for thinking the free gift of God can be bought. You have no part at all in this matter, because in the eyes of God your heart is crooked. So repent of this wickedness of yours and pray to the Lord. Perhaps you will be yet forgiven for holding such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are extremely bitter and completely under control of sin. Simon answered, pray to the Lord for me that none of the things you have spoken about will happen to me. So, guys, the occult is such an open door. The occult is such an open door for demons. When you get into the occult, when we get into anything, just even when we're playing around as a kid or before we're saved, or we're playing around with the Ouija board or any of that kind of stuff, we're like an open gateway. It's like an open door. So Simon was a sorcerer. He practiced magic, it says in a lot of translations. He practiced magic. So you can imagine how full of demons he was. Right? He didn't just go there and check it out. He was a magician. He practiced magic. Right? And so then it says that he came to believe and he got baptized. So he's a believer. He's a baptized believer. And yet, he's still full of sin. And I really believe with all my heart that what Peter was saying was that he's seen the demons in him. Because Peter says, not only does he rebuke him, he says, so repent of this wickedness of yours and pray to the Lord. Perhaps you will yet be forgiven for holding such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are extremely bitter, completely under control of sin. So what does that mean? He had a bitter root. He had a bitter root. That's what that means. He had a bitter root. Right? He had an open door. He had like an open channel where the devil could just, the enemy could just come and go and just take control of his life and cause him to sin. And it's hard to say what his sin was. Hatred, probably. If he was bitter, it was probably hatred. Unforgiveness.
Jealousy.
Greedy.
Jealousy, greed. Think about it. All of that stuff, all that was all sins that was produced out of this demonic influence. And Peter's seen it. And then Simon says, please pray for me. Simon recognized it. Please pray for me. Get me delivered. I want to be free of it. Guys, I think the biggest thing, what we see is two things. Deliverance is easy. I can tell you guys that deliverance in itself is easy. What do I mean? It says in Mark, right? I mean, how do we miss this in our gospel? How do we miss this when it says in Mark 16? You know, we hear a lot about the Great Commission in Matthew 28. Go ye therefore to all the world, proclaim the gospel to all the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Right? But we don't really hear about the Great Commission out of the book of Mark very much, do we? He says, verse 14, 16, 14, later Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating, and he reproached them for their lack of trust and their spiritual insensitivity in not having believed those who had seen him after he had been risen. Then he said, so it starts off that he rebuked them for not having trust. And I think that seems to be the key. It's our lack of trust. Then he said to them, as you go throughout the world, proclaim the good news to all creation. Whoever trusts, that's the translation I have, whoever trusts, and here says believes, and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not trust will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who do trust. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. Not be injured if they handle snakes or drink poison in them, and heal the sick by laying hands on them. Guys, this is what it says. This is our Great Commission. We're to cast out demons. We're to heal the sick. We're to speak in tongues. This is the Great Commission. We're to proclaim the good news to all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Lord Jesus. Deliverance, healing. That's the good news. And that's what they did. They carried that Great Commission. They carried it over and over and over. But we're not, guys. We are not. Even our form of evangelism, guys, if we do any of it, our Great Commission is talk to your neighbor and send him to church, let the pastor save him. Right? That's our Great Commission. What a watered-down bunch of hogwash. That's our Great Commission. That's what we do. Oh, I'll talk to the unsaved people at Walmart and I'll give them a card to the address of my church. And we think we did some great service, guys. How did we get so far from this thing? And yet we say we believe in this. We say we trust this. We say this is our word. This is what we live by. Every one of us say that. This is what I live by. And I say we're liars. We're liars. We need to start by repenting of lying. We don't live by this. Guys, we live by what we've been taught by man. We live by what we've been taught by theology. But we don't live by this. Every word breathed here. I just really think that there's such a need, guys, and I have to start with this. There's such a need to be free, to really be free, to really be healed. But we have to be that example. How can we go out and tell the people that there's freedom in Jesus when they see that we're not in freedom? How can we go out and say that we're different than the world when we look like the world? Guys? Why? I have another question that I just don't understand. Why do we work so hard? Why do we do just? Why do we work so hard to stay in this world when there's a better world waiting for us if we're truly believing? Why do we? I've never understood. Why do we take so many medications to get one more day out of our life when there's a better way waiting for us? What are we so scared about? Is it our real spirit man telling us that we're not ready? I don't think on a lot of us it is, but it could be. But why are we working so hard to stay here? Why are we so desperate to get one more breath here? When Paul said to live is gain, to die is to live is Christ and to die is gain. The gain to live is Christ. What does that mean? To live is Christ. To live is Christ. If you say you're Christ, if you say you live like Christ, that's why the word Christian is so amazing, to know the word Christ-like. So to live is Christ, so that I'm gonna take a bunch of medications so that I can stay here in this world to be like Christ. Well, I'm not like Christ because I'm taking the medications to stay here. It's an oxymoron. It's a moron. Guys, why? We have to rethink our whole life. We have to rethink everything we've grown up believing. We have to rethink. Guys, this process is a rethinking process. We have to rethink everything we've ever been taught. One of the things that God told me from the very beginning was that Christians need to unlearn everything they've ever been taught and to start over with the Bible. Just the Bible. No doctors, no physicians, no worldly advice. Just the Bible. Start over with this. And whatever it says, this is how we live. We have to be obedient to this word. You want to know if you're supposed to go to the doctor? Ask him. You want to know if you're supposed to go to the doctor? Ask him. If he says yes, then go. If he says no, then don't go. But I think it's... I think that we're so controlled by the demonic forces. And I'm not saying that every one of us have demons. That's not exact at all what I'm saying. But we're so influenced by the demonic forces around us. I love it in Ephesians 6 when it describes it. Next week we're going to talk about Ephesians 6 and each one of those. How the devil, John says that Satan or Lucifer is the ruler of this world and he has an army. And it describes an army in Ephesians 6. It describes it. And how he has his commanders, his generals, and his soldiers. And we're going to learn about that. We're going to learn that they have controlled us. They have taught us. You know, a good friend of ours years ago had a vision. And he was driving through Liberty, Kansas, actually, Kansas City. And as he drove by churches, and then he just took this drive, this Sunday afternoon stroll, and he went for a drive. And every church he went by, he seen a red dragon sitting on the roof. And what's amazing about this is that the more spirit-filled the church, the bigger the dragon. You'd think it'd be the other way around. But the more spirit-filled the church, the bigger the dragon. A little dead Catholic or Lutheran or Methodist or something like that church didn't need a big dragon to control them. Didn't need a big dragon. It had them pretty much in their theology and in their doctrine, pretty much had them already where it wanted them. They were powerless. They were useless, really, for the most part, spiritually speaking. But the ones who were charismatic, the ones who believed in the power of the Holy Spirit, the ones who walked in the Spirit, they had a big dragon because they needed a bigger force to control them. To keep them under range, to keep them in that religious dome. And I really believe that's what we have, you guys. I really believe that we're under that dragon. That we're under this religious deception. And guys, it gets so bad. It's all about holiness. It's about repentance. It's about holiness. You have to want to live. You have to have a desire to live a holy life. If you don't have a desire to live a holy life, then I don't know why we even have the right to ask him anything. That's my opinion. If we don't have a desire, a real desire every day to walk in holiness and sanctification, every day, if I don't have a desire every day to get closer to him, to get farther from this world and the desires of this world, and closer to him and his kingdom, then I can't expect him to give me all his good gifts, all his special stuff. I deserve to have what the world gives me. So, we need to start with us, guys. We need to start with us. We need to be free. We need to be free. We need to have that desire. We need to repent. We need to repent that we haven't believed him and we haven't believed his word. We need to repent for being liars that said because we said we did, but we don't. Guys, and once we repent, and once we are free, then we can change the world. Guys, a group of this size could change this state pretty quickly. A group this size, completely free and on fire for the Lord and full of holiness, on your face every day seeking God and seeking his will. If we spend less time going to the doctors, and less time gossiping about each other, and less time doing all these things, and more time in the will of God, think about what an impact that would have. Think about what an impact that would have in our lives. So guys, tonight I want to start here. The other thing that I want to share is I also believe that there's doors. There's times for deliverance. There's times that we need to get a demon out of us that might be controlling our thoughts, so that we can go deep with the Lord and find that open door. And then there's times that we need to first dig into our lives and find that open door. See, there's two processes, guys. There's inner healing and there's deliverance. And here's and I'm not saying by any means, guys, that I'm right. So don't, this is what I feel the Lord has showed me, and I feel this is what the Lord has worked through us for like 12 years now. I believe that there's inner healing ministries, and I believe there's deliverance ministries. But I believe the two need to work together. We gotta have them soul wounds healed. We gotta have them, we need to find them doors, and we need to close them. We need to pray over them and repent. Maybe we need to repent of our ancestors. Maybe we need to repent for the person who abused us. Maybe we need to repent for the person who hurt us. Maybe we need to repent for the reason that the demon came in the first place. Maybe it had nothing to do with me. That isn't fair. The honest truth is that isn't fair. If something happened to me when I was little and a demon came into me, that isn't fair. But we live in a fallen world. Nothing is fair in this world. All we can do is repent of that for that person. And forgive them. Truly forgive them. So many people, guys, carry these generational sins or generational curses because we've never learned that we have to repent of them. My hope is that every young person, before they start having children, would be completely cleansed so that when they have children, that they wouldn't pass that on to their children. Unfortunately, I passed mine on to my children. But now they're adults before I learned that they're adults. Now, I can tell them about that, but it's their choice to be cleansed or not. And I feel bad about that, but I can't go back and change it. So guys, I really believe that tonight we should just have a prayer time. I think we should have a real prayer time tonight, and I think we should be honest with ourselves. I think the best thing you guys can do is go home and be honest with yourself. I really do. Guys, be honest with yourself and be honest with the Lord. Do you want to walk in holiness? Do you want to only have one option? No other option. Do you want it? If you don't want it, then don't ask him for it. James says, you have not because you ask not. And when you ask for the wrong reasons. Right? So don't ask him for a deliverance, or don't ask him for a healing if you're not going to trust in him, if you're not going to sell out to him, if you're not going to completely follow him. But I think tonight we need to have a prayer time. I think it's our first night of this. Guys, I think that we need to have a group prayer time. And then everyone needs to go home and really process. Really process. Is this really the life I want to live? Do I really want to live a life of holiness? Do I really want to live a life of sanctification? Do I really want to admit that maybe what I've been doing, the way I've been reading the Bible, maybe the way I've been walking my Christian life has not been as holy as I thought it was? And really do a deep soul cleansing or soul searching. And if we can honestly say, yes, I want to go that way. Yes, I want to go that way. And if you feel there's things in your life that are a struggle, if you feel there's things, if you have, I'll say this, if you have diseases that are tormenting you, I'm 99% sure it's probably a demonic force. And that can be delivered out of it. And I'm really serious about that. We see it all. Guys, we have delivered autism. We have delivered diabetes. We have delivered, it just goes on and on. That almost every disease, heart disease, cancer. We've seen cancer cast out of people many times.
Two dead.
Huh?
Raised two dead.
Raised three from the dead. Three people came back from the dead. God is still on the throne. Nothing has changed, guys. Nothing has changed. We have changed. This has never changed. My word never changes, he says. It's us who's changed. It's not society. It's not the new age that we're living in. It's not some sort of new Christianity that came out of the first century apostles. It's us. It's our sensationalism. It's the fact that we want to be part of the world. We want to have all the glamours of this world. And we want to have God. We want to have that magic eight ball. We want to have that magic wand where God just come and touch me and now I'm healed. Now I'm free. Now I don't have the pains in my body. And now I go sin even more. That's really the truth. If I can skip and dance, I can go rock and roll. Right? I mean, if I'm bound down and I'm sick and I'm held down and I can't even leave my house, that's pretty easy to sit there. But once I'm free and up and go, whoa, now I can go out and party. I can go out and do whatever. I can go out. Why would God heal us if our heart's not right? So that we can be more sinful. If, after tonight, if after tonight, after you went home to pray about it, really thought about it, and really want to be free, guys, if you want to do that, we'd love to help you. We'd love to walk that through with you. We'd love to take you through a road of cleansing, inner healing, and then deliverance. We'd love to help you do that. But you have to make that decision that you want to walk, because I can tell you before you come that only through holiness, only through repentance and holiness is it going to happen. Obedience. The new theme that we're calling this out here is trust and obey. Trust and obey. You have to trust Him and you have to obey Him. You have to trust Him 100%. You cannot trust in this world, guys. If you really want to be healed, if you really want to be delivered, you cannot have a plan B. Lord, either you heal me or I'm going home. That's it. Lord, either heal me, deliver me, or I'm going home. Or, if it's your will, God, that I lay here and suffer, then I'll lay here and suffer. That's a tough one, isn't it? Guys, sometimes it's not even so tough to think, well, if you don't heal me, I'll go home. But what's really tough is if you don't heal me, I'll lay there and suffer for 30 or 40 or 50 years. That really is a tough one to accept. But plan B, guys, there can't be a plan B. He is the only answer. So I'm going to pray, guys, I'm going to pray now. I'm going to pray that God will come and touch our hearts. I'm going to pray that if there's anything in our way, you know what? I'm going to pray that if there's any demonic thing in our minds that's in the way,
for us to make a real rational decision with the Lord. That I'm going to pray that God binds it up, that He ties it up. He'll answer it. Guys, I believe that God will answer any prayer that we put out. I believe with all my heart that whatever prayer, the Bible says it. If the Bible says it, I believe it. Guys, He says in His Word that He will answer every prayer to those who love and serve Him. He will answer every prayer. And so I'm going to pray this prayer, guys, so that we can really think with a clear mind. And we can really go home and process with the Lord with a clear mind. Lord, do I really want to trust in You? Lord, do I really want to trust in You? Do I want to put all my faith in You, all my eggs in Your basket? I promise You, Lord, I'm not going to turn to the world again. But I need You to be my husband, my Lord. I need You to be my healer and my Savior. Or I need You to take me home. One of the other. Father, Lord, as we stand before You today, Father, as You have stirred in our hearts, Father, I know You're stirring in our hearts, Father, and I can actually sense now, Lord, that there's some thoughts in here even that I really don't want to stop. I want to follow God, but I'm scared to follow God. I just feel like there has to be another way. There has to be an easier way than what He's talking about. I feel there's people here that's thinking that right now, or someone, that there has to be an easier way. And Father, I pray that You bind that thought up in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that You bind that thought up right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Because that comes from an enemy. That comes from a demonic spirit. A demonic thought. Father, I pray that You bind that thought up right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that You bind up every religious spirit, God, that we have been under, Lord, that we don't even know we've been under. I pray, God, that You bind up every spirit, God, every demonic spirit, Father, that causes our mind to wander, causes us to think a different way, causes us to not be able to focus on You. Father, I pray that You bind up every spirit that causes us to not be able to read our Bibles. The Lord just showed that to me. Father, I pray that You bind up every demonic spirit that causes us to not be able to read our Bible. When we open it up, we just get tired, we fall asleep, we can't concentrate. That's a devil. The Lord said that's a devil. And I bind you up in the name of Jesus Christ, you seducing spirit. I say shut up right now in the name of Jesus. I bind you up right now in Jesus' name. Familiar spirits who sound like the Holy Spirit, who act like the Holy Spirit, who mimic the Holy Spirit, and who cause us to do things that are not of God and not of His Word. I bind you up right now in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, I tell you to be quiet right now. You shut up. You have no right to hurt God's children. Spirit of ailment. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I bind you up. Quit causing pain. Quit causing physical pain. In Jesus' name. I command you. You stop it now. You stop it now. You have no right. You have no right. You have no legal right to cause that pain. Father, I pray that You wash us now, Father. Wash us of all the worldly thoughts. Wash us of all the worldly Christianity that's polluted our lives, our thinking. Father, I pray that You wash us now of that weak gospel, of another gospel. Paul warned us to be He warned us of the doctrines of demons. He warned us of another gospel. Father, I'm afraid we're in that day. We're in that day where there's another gospel. And there's a doctrine of demons. Father, I pray that you help each person here right now to be free in their mind. That they can think clearly with you. That they will look deep into their own hearts. They will look deep into their own hearts and they will say, Lord, is that me? Father, am I having a lack of faith? Father, I thought I was such a person of faith. God, I thought I really had a lot of faith, but God, now I'm realizing that maybe I don't. Father, maybe if I trust in the world that I don't have faith in you. Father, I pray that you touch each one of our minds right now. Touch us, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, touch our minds right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, heal us right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you pour out your healing power right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray against the spirit of negativity right now in Jesus' name. You critical spirit, you negative spirit, I command you to shut up right now. I command you to shut up right now. My husband will be saved. My wife will follow Jesus. I command you to shut up right now. Quit telling me those lies. Father, touch us in the name of Jesus. Father, heal us right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that tonight is a night, Father, that you're going to open up the heavens. Father, I pray that tonight you open up the heavens and that you pour out your blessings, Father. You pour out your spirit, God, on all of us right here. Father, I pray that you pour out from the heavens, God, your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that your angels would come. Father, minister to us right now. Lord, I pray that you would bring healing right now. Father, I pray right now, I just sense in the name of Jesus, right now, God, that you're going to do a healing. Father, I sense right now that you're going to heal. You're going to heal somebody physically right now in the name of Jesus. Father, you're going to take away, Father, an ailment, Father. I pray in the name of Jesus right now that you're going to heal. Father, you're going to bring healing, Father. In the name of Jesus, I say, be healed. In Jesus' name, I say, be healed. In the name of Jesus Christ, I say, be healed. In the name of Jesus Christ, I say, be healed. Father, touch your people right now. Father, heal us. God, touch us, God, right now in Jesus' name. Father, restore us, God. Father, clear our thinking. Father, make our minds clear and sharp that we can think. Father, take away depression. Father, take away anxiety, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, take away hopelessness, God, in the name of Jesus, Father. Father, touch us, God, in the name of Jesus. God, touch us in the name of Jesus. Father, heal us in the name of Jesus, Father. Father, give us discernment. Father, give us discernment right now in the name of Jesus. Father, give us discernment to know the difference between healing and deliverance. Father, give us discernment, Father. Your people need to be healed, God. They need to be set free. God, this group is here. They come, Father. They want to be set free. In the name of Jesus Christ, touch us, God. Father, heal us right now in Jesus' name. Father, come into our minds right now and restore us, God. Restore us, God. Father, we surrender it all to you, God. God, bind up every single demonic force, God, so that we can think clearly, so that we can make the decision to go deeper with you clearly, without having that force, without having that negative thought that we don't need it, that we can live with what we have, that we can find where we're at. Father, touch us in the name of Jesus. Father, touch us in the name of Jesus. Heal us, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, have your way right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, have your way right now in the name of Jesus. Touch us, Lord. Father, fill us with your Spirit, God. God, show us. Show us, Father. Show us that it's all about holiness. It's all about righteousness. It's all about repentance, Father. Father, it's all about obedience. Father, touch us right now in the name of Jesus. Father, touch us. We need a touch from the Holy Ghost tonight, God. We need a touch from the Holy Ghost tonight, God. Touch us, God. Heal us tonight, God. Restore us tonight, God. Touch us, God. Touch us in the name of Jesus. Lord, come into our mind right now, Father, and bind up every demonic force. Father, come into our minds right now, and if there's any demonic forces in there, bind them up right now that we can think clearly. That we can think clearly. That we can think clearly from you, God. Father, touch us right now in Jesus' name. Father, touch us right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, touch us right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, have your way right now. Father, have your way right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, heal us right now. Restore us, God, back to the way that you created us, God. Restore us, God. Touch us, Lord. Holy Spirit, have your way. Go deep into our hearts and deep into our minds. Have your way, Lord. Father, have your way. Heal us, God. Father, I know that you have a healing touch for us right now. Father, I know that you have a healing touch for us right now. God, I know that you're going to do a healing tonight. I know that you're going to do more than one healing tonight. Father, I know that you're healing tonight. Father, I know that your Spirit is touching right now, is touching our bodies, touching our minds. Father, touching our souls, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Father, I know that you're healing us tonight. Father, I know that you're bringing healing tonight in the name of Jesus. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way, Father. In the name of Jesus, Father, touch us tonight. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, O God. Have your way, O God. Jesus. Heal us tonight. Father. We submit ourselves to you, Lord.
You're my healer.
Have your way, Lord. Father, touch us. Your Spirit is here. I can feel it doing healing right now. I can feel a healing coming on right now. I can feel many healings coming on right now. Father, I can feel your power right now, touching people and healing them. Father, I feel your power binding up the devil and binding up the thoughts and binding up all the words and all the negativity of the devil. Father, I pray that, I pray, God, that you bind him up, that we can think clearly. Father, we need to be able to think clearly. Father, your people need to be able to think clearly tonight.
Thank you.
Have your way, Lord.
Glory,
Father, glory.
Have your way, Lord.
Lord, I thank you so much for this night. I thank you that we was able to come together to hear your word, Father. And I pray that, Lord, I pray that you did what we asked you to do tonight. Lord, I really pray. I believe. God, I believe. I don't pray for it because I believe it's done. You did exactly what you said you would do, what we asked you to do. To tie up and to bind up any spirit that would cause us to not think clearly so that we can process with you. So that we can not have deception in our own hearts. That we can truly seek and say, am I a liar? Am I truly believe in the Word of God? Do I really want to live this holy life? Do I really want to live a life according to the Scriptures? Not according to traditions of man, but according to the Scriptures. Do I really want to live that way? And Father, help us to see that. And to make that decision.
Father, thank you so much.
Lord, you are ruining me through fire.
Thank you, Lord. So if anyone, after tonight, or after you pray, or after you think, or even after tonight, if God has shown you something, if they're showing you anything about any diseases or sicknesses or struggles in your mind, depressions, anxieties, fear. I mean, there's so much that's not from God that we live with every day. This world, guys, fear is such a big one. This world is, everything in this world is controlled by fear. You realize that every single thing of this world is controlled by fear. It's the most amazing thing. We don't even realize it. Like, everything is so fear-based. If you don't do this, this is going to happen. If you don't get the kids vaccinated, they're going to get this. There's going to be an epidemic or an outbreak. If you don't do this, it's going to be everything. Every single rule in this world is based out of fear. If you drive faster than 55, you're going to get a car. Every single rule that's made is based out of fear. Every single thing in this world that's made is based out of fear. The ruler of this world really has done his job well. But he's a liar. He's a liar and he's a fake. But guys, if there's anything that God has been showing you tonight or maybe before now, or if there's things that you want to deal with, that you really want to deal with, maybe you want to process it. But